Well, I don't know about you, but in the world we live in today, it seems like there's a whole lot of whining going on about everything that's going wrong. And here we are in this season of Thanksgiving, where I think we need to turn that around and realize how God is working in the mess. This mess in the world that we live in, I believe I always have reason to be an eternal optimist because God is God. And God can do all things. And even in a world where things sometimes seem to be going kind of, God's working. God's working, whether it's at that micro level in our individual lives or whether it's that macro level in our country and around the world. I believe God is working. Now, I know there's one who has always been working against all that, and I'm not going to spend much time with him because he's not worth spending time with, but that's Satan himself, right from the get-go, right in the garden when he had his conversation with Adam and Eve. Sin came into the world. And I think that's why you and I can look at the world and say that's why the world really is in a mess. Specifically, let's first of all talk about sin. Whether it's greed or pride or indifference or selfishness or control or whatever it is, sin certainly plays a role in the mess we have in our world. We're all a part of that. We all fall short of the glory of God. I think in light of that, too, it's a lack of acknowledgement of God. What took that away from us? You know, I want to say something here this morning, and it might bug a few people, but that's okay. We can agree to disagree, and we love each other in spite of our differences, but I want to say this. I think there are things that took us away from the acknowledgement of God in this world, and one of those I think is we rampantly taught that this world just evolved. To me, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in a creator God. It seems every time we come up with this theory of evolution, and it is a theory, they got to come up with more theories because it really doesn't support what we see. Never, never yet has it been proven that one species has become another species. In the beginning, God said he created each according to its kind. Not that they evolved from one thing to another. I never was an ape, although I might act like it sometimes. And I think what's happened is that's one piece of all this, but when we take that whole idea of evolution, what does that do? It seeks to diminish that there was intelligent design. It seeks to diminish that there was a creator God. And I think it made its way into our system of thought with that in mind. To take us away from the idea that what we really see out there involves a creator. How do these trees look dead in the winter and then the spring? They spring forth with life again. Because the creator God made that tree and made all those things out there. And how do those squirrels who nest up there, and there's that one tree over there, see from my office window, and they're up there in the winter, they gotta surely be dead by spring. And how God, in his wisdom, when he created a squirrel, he made them so that they could survive the winter and do what they end up doing and come out in the spring, and they're okay. I look at everything that I see out there, and I cannot see how this could happen by chance. Just like I shared with you this morning, I cannot see how a baby could ever be born if evolution was what was going on. No, it's by design. All those billions of things that had to come together just right to have a normal baby born, and it only takes one of those things to go wrong for you to end up with a stillbirth or something else that might go wrong with the child. Think about it, folks. How does it make any sense that it would be anything other than a designer God And I think that's one thing that took us away. People who demonize the Bible. Well, it was written by a bunch of human beings that didn't know what they were talking about. They were probably high on cocaine. No. The Bible is inspired by God. His word is truth. And so, when we look at God's word, there are those out there that want to demonize the Bible or say there's certain parts of the Bible that they aren't really God's word, but the rest of it is. Well, then I can selectively choose whatever I want in the Bible to believe, can't I? I'm going to believe this piece, but not this piece. You know, I read the Bible, and there might be parts I struggle with, but it's still God's word. It's still God's word. And I believe God's word. Even if there are parts of it I might struggle with, it's God's word, not mine. If it's my word, it's going to get us a whole lot of trouble. We live in a world where people talk about this moral relativism, and yet I believe that God's word holds to moral absolutism, that there is absolute truth, and you and I need to strive towards that, recognizing that none of us are absolutely moral. We all have our issues. We all have our problems. But we live in a world where God is morally perfect. And we ought to seek to obey him and do what he says. You know, I Googled this, so I don't know if it's right or not, because, you know, you can Google anything you want and come up with a bunch of different answers. But why we live in this world and why it seems to be the way it is, I Googled this idea. I can't remember exactly what I said. Something about how much of the news that we hear is negative. Not concerning politics or anything, just whatever. And it said well over half of the news that we hear on TV from all sources is significantly negative. So we live in a world that hears a lot of significantly negative stuff. Yeah, I want to steer us as we go through these two texts this morning into a real positive direction in spite of some of the negative that you've heard so far. I think the world is in a mess in part because we deny that God is sovereign, and he is. It doesn't matter whether you deny it or not. He is. Do all the denying you want. God's sovereign. We live in a world where people deny God's omnipotence, that he is all-powerful. But he is. We live in a world that denies his omniscience, his all-knowingness. Yet he knows all. And his omnipresence. I love that idea that God is present with me here, and God can be present with someone over in China and Ethiopia and wherever all at the same time. So God is omnipresent. His Holy Spirit lives within our hearts as believers in Jesus Christ. The world's in a mess because we deny God's in charge. Yet he still is in charge. And he allows us to live in this world and make choices in this world that are oftentimes so contrary to what God wants us to do and the way he wants us to think. But even denying that God's in charge doesn't negate the fact that he is. That's why we have those signs out there, and I think we're over 450 of them out there that say God's got it. Because that's the truth. God's got it. While I'm making a mess, God's still got it. While you're making a mess, God's still got it. So let's look at these two texts here this morning real quickly. Psalm 42. You know, you start out the text in Psalm 42 and you go through it, you see that there's two sides going on in this Psalm 42. In these verses that we read this morning, there's a negative side and a positive side. The negative side is I live in a fallen world and therefore I suffer with it and in it. That's the way it is. We all suffer from time to time in our life in different kinds of ways because we live in a fallen world. Psalm 42. Here's two things that kind of come out from the text that we read this morning that are negatives. My soul is downcast and disturbed. I feel forgotten and oppressed by the enemy. And those verses we read this morning, those are things that are felt by the psalmist because of living in a fallen world and feeling like they're kind of being let down in some way. Yet in that same psalm and those same verses, I hear and see four different things I hear that actually give me hope and give them hope. And the first one is, I have hope that even though I live in this fallen world, even though I'm living in all this garbage that's going on, I have hope. Number two, I will praise my Savior, my God. Number three, I will remember you. And number four, God's love and God's song are with me. See, what the psalmist is doing is saying, even though right now life stinks, it's not as bad as it could be because I have hope. I have a Savior. I remember what he's done in the past and will do again. And his love and his song is with me. It's hard for the world to understand this kind of thing. But when you've known it as a believer in Jesus Christ, you understand exactly what the psalmist is saying. Now let me go then from there in the Old Testament to the text in the New Testament. You know, in all the 20 years or almost 20 years I've been here, I'm not sure if I've ever actually preached a message on Romans 8:28, although I've mentioned that verse countless times over the years because it's a favorite of mine. But that verse, again, is one the world cannot understand, but you and I can understand. And I hope this morning you can understand, as I just mentioned a little bit about these few verses there. People ask the question, if God is good, why isn't everything good? You know, if God is good, why isn't everything good? Well, we forget part of the story is that, and why he even created the world this way. Let me go there just for a moment if I could. If God's a perfect God, why did he create a world where sin would be in this world? Now, I have not had a conversation with God face to face one day. Maybe I'll have that conversation. Maybe I won't, because then I'll know it all and I won't have that question. But God wanted to create a world where his creation could love him. How can you create a world where his creation could love him if they were only programmed to do that? It's not love, is it? It's like I create a robot and whatever I tell the robot to do, the robot does. That's not love. It's been programmed to do that. So God created a world, and he could have created many kinds of worlds because God's God, right? But he created a world in which we could choose to disobey. We could choose to be evil as opposed to good. We could choose to obey or disobey. And in choosing to obey, in choosing to love, that was a real choice where we could say, I love you because you love me first. And so he created that world, and in that world, there was the opportunity, and of course, with the coaxing of Satan himself, the serpent, Adam and Eve made a choice. And in that choice, they sinned. Do you think God was surprised by that? I don't think so. In fact, in Genesis, we still read of a hint of what was going to happen thousands of years later when he sent his son Jesus to take care of the idiot over there, Satan. You know, what he did. Take care of sin. So God created this world with the solution to our problem that would also allow us to love him because he first loved us. I don't know if I explained that very well, but I just wanted to tell you, I think that's why we have the world we have today, because a lot of bad choices have been made, yet we still have a redeeming God, a Savior who still loves us, who wants people to come to him and choose to love him because he first loved them. Choose to follow him because he gave his life for them. That's what we've got in this world. So if God is good, why isn't everything good? Well, it's because of that. But it was to redeem all those who would be willing to be redeemed. Even though we are all sin-stained, even though all of us fall short of the glory of God, God seeks to redeem us. And he did. So, when we get to Romans 8:28, as a believer, we can begin to understand the truth of that text. And we know that in all things, God works for the good. Now, that's all-inclusive for believers. He works in all things, works for the good for believers. Now, I make really stupid mistakes sometimes. But God is even seeking to redeem the stupid stuff that I do for his glorious purposes. And as a believer, isn't that good to know? That with all the mess that I create, with all the stupid things I do, with all the things that I say or the things I don't say or whatever, that God seeks to redeem even those things that I have done or said or not done or not said. And he says, Dave, I still want to use even those things for my glorious purposes if you'll let me. I can see sometimes how God can use that when I do something. Say I do something against someone else. And I ask them to forgive me. Can't you see God working for the good in the bad? Because in that, there's this sense of forgiving and forgiveness, whether I'm forgiving someone else or they're forgiving me. And so God is using a bad thing for his glorious purposes ultimately. You hear of the families that a child has been killed by a murderer, and they choose to forgive them. You see how God can redeem the bad stuff that happens in life. For believers, that is a promise. This is not for everybody. This is only for believers. Romans 8, 28 and 29 is a promise for believers. Those who love him, those who have been called. We don't understand that whole context because we're trying to understand a God thing from a human perspective. But God knows all things. And God's called us even before we knew we were called. Even before we said, yes, God knew. Those are being used according to his purpose. You see, God wants to use us for his purpose. Sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. But he wants to redeem even the wrong and the bad for his good purposes. So that we can be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's why I love those two verses. So I never have to get so down on myself. And there are people who come to me and wonder because of the mess they've made in their life, even though they're believers in Jesus Christ, is God going to save me? The answer is yes. And he's going to redeem some of the bad stuff that you're doing for his glorious purposes if you'll let him. If you just let him. So ultimately, and I should have ended the service with this song, but I'm not because I like this other song as well. Our job is to trust and obey. You know that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. Because he has our best interest in mind. You have to believe that even in the valley. You have to believe that even in the crap of life. God has our best interests in mind. In a sin-stained world, there will be pain and there will be bumps along the way. That is life. For believers or not. It's not peaches and cream for believers. If it was, then I think we'd have five times as many people in church. Because they'd say, I come to Christ and all my problems go away. I'll tell you what, though. You come to Christ and it's easier because he is with me as I go through all the bumps in life. And it makes it easier than it was before. And then lastly, even though we may not be, God is faithful. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Isn't that a wonderful promise to hold on to? And that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. pray. God, thank you for these promises in your word. It's this time of year, Thanksgiving, when we can truly say, even in the junk of life, even in the difficult parts of life, even though I'm going through trials and tribulations in my life, I can still sit down to a Thanksgiving meal and say, God, you are good. And I am thankful that you brought me along life's path. And it's been easier because of you. I've made it difficult, but you have been there. So God, thank you for your watchful care over us. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name.